Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, welcome to My City Church Online. Want to give a huge shout out to everybody who's watching at one of our watch parties all over the city. Come on, if you're at a watch party right now, make some noise. And so great that you're with us today. Also, big news, this week we are kicking off groups in person all over the city. I think there's 70 different groups to choose from, and we'd love for you to get registered, get yourself back into community. It's going to be an incredible time this week as we engage in groups again. Well, we have been in a new series in the book of 1 John, and last week, if you missed it, we kicked off with a conversation between me and my dear friend Myron Pierce, and it was an incredible conversation about just the dynamics of race and inequality and injustice that our world is facing right now. If you missed it, love for you to go back and watch it. You can find it on our YouTube channel or our Facebook page, and would love for you to engage. But today we're really picking up in the first part of John. And today, if you have your 1 John journals, love for you to get those out. There's a place for you to take notes today right there in your journal. If you don't have one, you can go to mycitychurch.cc/churchonline and you can download a digital version. We'd love for you to walk through and soak with us daily as we work through the Bible and the book of 1 John. But if you got your Bibles with me today, 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 5, and here's what it says. This is the message we have heard from him and have declared to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. What an encouraging passage of scripture. And today, as we dive into this, I want to speak to you from this topic or this subject, life in the light. Life in the light. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you for your presence that is real and tangible. God, we pray that you'd show up in the middle of watch parties and speak to people's hearts. Lord God, whether somebody's watching from the other side of an iPhone or their community in a watch party, that this message would cut through the darkness and the light of God would stream in. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, if you're at a watch party, put your hands together for Jesus. So I've got a question for you today. How many of you love to go to a good concert? You love to go to a good concert. I like to go to a good concert. I remember I got invited when we first moved to Omaha to a concert that was happening at the Slowdown. And I remember going to this concert. I showed up. The place was packed. And I walked in, and it just had great vibes. I mean, the ambiance was great. They had music going on. You walked into the venue. People were hanging out. They had music kind of low because the concert hadn't started. And then you walked into the venue, and all the amazing lighting's up, and everybody's hanging out, and the concert starts. And I just remember walking out of that venue, the Slowdown, which is actually now our downtown campus, walking out of that venue going, that is a sweet atmosphere. I just had a great venue. It had a great vibe. I just loved it. It was a Friday night. And as I was driving home, I had this thought come into my head. Man, it would be great to have church there. It would be great to have church in that venue. So I remember I called up the owner and got his number, and I said, hey, can I come talk to you about some potentially maybe doing church there on Sunday mornings? And he said, yeah, sure, you can come during the day. And I remember the first time I walked in the venue, it was game time. I mean, all the lights were up and the mood was set just right. And, you know, the lights in the back were dimmed and all the lights on the stage were up, and it just had a great atmosphere. But this time when I walked into the building, none of that was going on. There was no music on. There was no vibe. There was no nothing. And to my dismay, I started looking around and going, man, this kind of, it's kind of dirty in here a little bit. And like some of the furniture's messed up, and the stage doesn't look as cool as I thought it did. And I remember looking around and seeing all the discrepancies because why? Because the lights were up in the room. There was nothing covering up all the blemishes. Here's the thing that I found about darkness. And here's what you need to understand. Darkness conceals things, but light reveals things. And when I walked into that venue that night, that first night, they had the mood set right. It was dim, it was dark, and the ambiance just seemed perfect, and there were so many other things grabbing for my attention. I got used to things looking pretty good in the dark, but as soon as I walked into the place with all the lights up, I started to realize there was a whole lot more going on. And I think this is an unbelievable metaphor for our life. The reality is that we like to let darkness conceal things in our life. We like that. We don't like to like have the blemishes pointed out. But the reality is that when the light of God gets on our life, it's going to start to reveal things. And this is where the book of 1 John jumps in. See, John is writing to a Jewish audience. And his theme is to write about the love of our God towards us and what our response back to that love should look like. And he begins to dive in straight away, and he's saying, hey, you have a loving God who loves you, and he wants relationship with you, but here is what that relationship looks like. And he begins to dive into this conundrum between light and darkness. I want you to see what John begins to say here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. He says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. What is John saying? He's saying, you want to know who God is. You want to know how to have a relationship with God. You want to know what God is all about. Here is who God is. God is light. That's not theoretical. God is light. All the attributes of light is how God can be described. See, this Jewish audience that John was writing to would have been familiar with these analogies, light and darkness, good and evil. And John is saying, hey, you want to know who God is? God is light. Now, we can hear that, and we're like, okay, yeah, God's light, that sounds right, but we can kind of just kind of move on from that for a moment. But I want you to take a moment and consider the fact, if God is light, what does that mean? Like, if God is light, if he's like light, what does that actually mean? Well, I think there's some things about light that we can discover that will show us more about who God is than we could even imagine. The first thing that I think you got to grab a hold of, if you're going to consider if God is light, you got to consider the power of light. You know, for us, when we think of light, because we grew up in like a 21st century world, most of the time when I use light, it has to do with a light switch. I walk into a room, I flip the switch, the light is on, the light is off. We have a tendency to think that light is static. But can I tell you today, light is anything but static. Light is an energy, it's a wave, it's on the move. In fact, if you study light, they've created a whole nother category for light. It's called the speed of light. That light is powerful. In fact, light is the fastest thing on planet Earth. That if you were to track the speed of light, that it is moving at 856,000 miles per hour, per second. I mean, that is quick. So like if you were able to get in a car and drive at the speed of light, you could drive around the Earth 7.5 times in 1 second. What does this tell me about God? That God is not static. God is on the move, and God can move quickly in our lives. God is the God of suddenly. God can move quickly in your world. He's not static. He's not off. He's not on. He's constantly on the move, and he can move quicker than you could ever imagine. God is light, and because God is light, God is powerful. I think there's something else you got to consider. If God is light, you got to consider the purity of light. Like the purity of light. Like, we look at light and it almost has a feeling of purity to it. I think it's one of the reasons why the Bible uses the contrast between light and darkness. Light and darkness. In fact, we could go a step further, and this is what the book of 1 John says about the purity of God's light. In 1 John chapter 5, or 1 verse 5, it says, God is light, and in him there is what? No darkness at all. So where God shows up, darkness flees. We have to have a revelation that we serve a God. If we want a relationship with God, and if God is light, that God is pure. God doesn't do bad things. We can look around our world right now, and what we can see is a lot of bad things going on. We have a lot of people trying to solve darkness, but the reality is what we need is we need the purity of God's light to flood into our society, into our homes, and into our lives in order to change us. I want to remind you today that you can have confidence of this, that God is good. God is good. If he is light, he is pure. And if he is pure, he is good. God is righteous, which means he only does what is right. He is righteous. God is pure. So we are learning, if just looking at the concept of light, if God is light and in him there is no darkness, that God is powerful, that God is pure. But we also have to consider this about light, and it's the purpose of light. It's the purpose of light. Light brings purpose wherever it goes. If you don't believe me, just think about this. Light gives us sight. Have you ever walked into a dark room where it was completely pitch black, and you gotta kind of stumble around the room, and you what do? When you walk in the darkness, you stumble, you trip, you hurt yourself, you run into things you never intended to. Because why? You can't see where you're going. But the minute that you get to that light switch and flip it on, now all of a sudden that light has given me sight. The reality is we have to understand that God's light is purposeful, and that purpose is to give you vision, to give you sight, to help you see the beauty of what God wants to do in your life. In fact, I'd go a step further than that, that all color comes from light. That the fact that we live in a world right now that is fighting racially, is divided racially, tells me that we do not understand who God is. God is light, and because God is light, he enables us to see. And in that scene, we get to see in color. God is the great developer of color. Without light, there is no color. When we try to divide ourselves amongst ourselves, that is a byproduct of darkness. And that is why God wants us to have his purposeful light in our lives. Let me tell you this. You got to grab a hold of this today, that light is a game changer. I mean, wherever light goes, it changes the game. I mean, things shift, things move. If you don't believe me, in 1879, Thomas Edison set out to invent the light bulb. I like Thomas Edison because he was one of these inventors. Whenever he set out to invent something, what he would do is he would go out and he'd make a public declaration. I am going to invent the light bulb before he ever did it, because he knew once he went public with something, it would galvanize him. It would drive him to what? Never give up until he reached his goal. I think we need more believers that are like that. More believers that are willing to declare something before they ever walk in something. Some believers that are willing to what? Speak to the future that they see, then take personal responsibility to build that future. And Thomas Edison, you know, he declared that he was going to create the light bulb. Well, let me tell you, when he did, when electricity flooded into people's homes, it didn't just give people some little creature comforts. No, it changed the game completely. In fact, it shifted a whole economic system in the United States of America. People were now allowed to move into cities. They were allowed to work different hours. They were able to work longer hours. People were able to stay up at night. People were able to socialize. It changed the economy. There was no such thing really as nightlife before light came. That's almost hilarious. But the light came and it changed the economic system. I'm telling you today, light is purposeful. Light is a game changer. The reality is you gotta grab a hold of this. All of creation follows light. All of creation follows light. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says that God hovered over the earth. It was covered in darkness and it was formless and void. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Then God created the heavens and the earth. And then God created male and female, birds, reptiles, animals. See, all of life first followed the light. You need the light of God in your life if you are going to walk with fullness of life. Light is a game changer. Light is purposeful. I want to remind you today, if God is light, there's some things that you have to understand, that God is powerful, God is pure, and God is purposeful. This is who we are called to have fellowship with. God is light, and he is powerful, he is pure, he is purposeful, and this is really what we are called to engage with in fellowship. This is the beginning stages. Understanding who God is leads us to fellowship. John continues to go on in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. He says, "If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he walks in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." What is John trying to say here? He's saying God is light and you can have fellowship with this light. But if we claim to have fellowship with him, but we're walking in darkness, we're lying. We're not living out the truth. John is trying to help you understand what Jesus came to do. Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. See, a religion has a list of do's and don'ts and goods and bads that we can kind of play around with, we can kind of hide from sometimes, but John is going, no, it's a step deeper than that. And here's what John wants you to understand. Jesus did not come to establish a religion, but a relationship. Jesus came for the light of God to stream into our life to restore us to relationship with God. Not to expose us, not to condemn us, but to set our life right again so that we could be in fellowship with God, that we could step out of darkness into light, into the truth, and be in fellowship with God. And if you want to be able to do that, here's what you have to be able to do. If we want relationship with God, we must step out of darkness and into the light of his power, his purity, and his purpose. Which means stepping out of the darkness into the light means that you are going to have an encounter with his power. Like, his power is going to have to deliver you from some things. The light of God is going to have to break some things off of your life. Some chains are going to have to crumble. You're going to have to feel his power move in your life. But then you're going to have to go a step further if you want to stay in the light. You're going to have to let his purity work on you. You're going to have to get some things that have been hiding in darkness out of your life. You're going to have to let his purity work on you. And then you know what? You're going to have to let him fill your heart with purpose. This is what it means to be in fellowship with the light. Because the reality is that until we are able to step out into the light, we will never know who we are. Because the more that we hide and the more that we relegate to darkness, the more we lose ourselves. The more we do not know who we are. We do not know how we should act. We do not know what we should be doing. Because why? Here's why. Until you know who God is, you will never know who you are. And that's where it begins, is that we have to know that God is light. God is powerful. God is pure. God is purposeful. And I have to step out of darkness. I have to quit hiding. I have to step into the light. And as I step into the light, I'm going to begin to find out who I am. You have to know who you are. And so John begins to help us along with that by helping us know, apart from the light and apart from Jesus, here is who we are. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, he says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What is he saying? That if we claim to be without sin, the truth's not in us. What is he saying? You're walking in darkness. That in fact, in order to enter into the light, in order to have fellowship with God, we first have to admit that we are not without sin, we're with sin, that we are dark. That's who we are. God is light, and apart from God, we are dark. Man, I hear this from people all the time. They go, Pastor, man, I just got so much problems. You know, the world's got so much problems. We got so much problems going on. We got COVID going on. We've got racism going on. We've got injustice going on. We've got problems. And while I get what they're trying to say, I sometimes want to stop them and tell them, do we have problems or are we the problem? Like, check this out. I want you to write this statement in your journal as you're taking notes. Apart from Jesus, you don't have problems. You are the problem. I know this isn't popular preaching, but the reality is that you didn't just wake up one day and kind of choose to be a sinner. Me and you were born the problem on planet Earth. Unfortunately, the trees are not the problem. Unfortunately, the animals are not the problem. That we as humans carry this thing, and here's the theological word for it. It's called this. It's called original sin. It's called original sin. What does that mean? That in the garden, Adam and Eve, when they took of the apple and they sinned against God, what was the first thing that happened? The Bible says that they went and hid. Here comes God. If God is light, he comes walking through the garden and he's looking for Adam and Eve. And he calls out to him and he goes, where are you? And man calls back out and he says, we hid for we were afraid. What is he saying? He said, we saw light coming our way and we ran for the darkness. So we went and hid and they covered themselves. What do? They begin to hide in the darkness. Don't look at our blemishes. Don't point out our failures. We're gonna hide in the darkness. And from that moment on, this thing called original sin passed off from Adam to Adam's sons, from Adam's sons all the way down to you and me. See, you have to come to a conclusion in your Christianity that sin isn't something you did. Sin is something that you are. You didn't just, like, there wasn't like a summer when you were 13 when you were like, you made up your mind, oh, I'm a sinner now. No, we know sin started way before that. It is amazing to me. I have a 3-year-old and now an 8-month-old. And let me tell you, they're sinners. I didn't teach them. Nobody taught them. They came out like that. They came out sinning. Why? Because it's this thing called original sin. It's we don't have problems. We are the problem. And the reality is that we have to change who we are. See, we don't have a behavior problem. We have an identity problem. Look at how David wrote about this in Psalm chapter 51. He said this. He said, surely I was sinful at birth. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. This is King David. The Bible says a man after God's own heart. And he had many issues going on. There was times in his life where he went for the darkness rather than the light, but he would always come back to the light. And his reflection was, God, I've been this way my whole life. I don't have problems. I think I am the problem. And I can hear some people saying, well, that's Old Testament. You know, I mean, I'm a New Testament person. No, that's fine. Romans chapter 3 says this. It says, for all, say all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's all. All means Billy Graham. All means Pastor Jesse. All means Martin Luther King. All means all. All have fallen short of the glory of God, which means what? We are in darkness unless Jesus brings us into the light. Why is this so important? Because if we don't know our world is lost, if we don't know what is broken, there's no hope to fix it. If we don't know what the real issue is, then we can never bring a real solution. It's like this, man, sometimes when we first moved into a new city, when we first moved to Omaha, I didn't know where everything was. And so I would get out driving and I'd realize that I did not know where I was. And this is before you had GPS on your phone. And I would call my wife and I'd be like, babe, I have no idea where I'm, like, how to get home. I don't know how to get home. And she goes, well, where are you? And I'm like, I don't know where I'm at. If I knew where I was, I could probably figure out how to get home. See, now we have these beautiful things where we can do a pin drop. And that pin drop tells us exactly where we are located. Because if we know where we are located, we know how to get home. We have a whole world right now trying to get home. They don't know where they're located. They don't know that they are stuck in darkness. And what they need to do is they need to locate themselves. I don't have problems. I am the problem. Sin is in me. And I need to run to the light and let God's light, his what? His power, his purity, and his purpose touch my life. So that way, what? I can step out of the darkness and into the wonderful light. So here's the question. What is our gateway out of darkness into the light? I think that that's an appropriate question for us to ask. And not only that, I think it's one that the people were asking that John was writing to. So John begins to answer, here is what our gateway looks like from darkness into the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of our sins and purify us from unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, I think it's powerful, this if we confess our sins. I think it's a massive if. I think it's one of the primary reasons we had the conversation that we did last week. Because the reality is that the if is on us. We can allow darkness to reside in our hearts. But the only way we let the darkness out is to expose it with the light. It's by having difficult conversations. And John is saying, if you will go there, if you will let the light shine in the darkness and you will confess your sins, guess what? You have somebody who is faithful to forgive you. What is John telling us? The gateway into the light is confession. It's confession. It's confessing your sins. Now, for many of us, that word confession has a lot of different meanings, okay? Some of you, like, after this, you're gonna want to sit with your whole watch party and be like, man, I'm telling you, 2020, not a good year. Let's just start in January. Here's what I did. You know, just list out all your sins. I lied here. I did this here. I got angry here. That's not what we need. That's not healthy for anybody. Nobody wants to hear all that. You don't need to do that. You don't need to confess. I want you to understand what confession really means. Confession really means this. It simply means this. Confession means to agree with God. It means to agree with God. It's saying, God, I have darkness in my life. This area of my life is dark. And God, I believe that you are powerful, that you are pure, and you are purposeful. So God, I don't want this darkness to stay in my life. No, God, I'm going to align with the light. See, confession is coming in agreement with God. I think it's so important that you understand this, because if you want a great relationship with God, the foundation of that relationship has to be honesty. Because honesty builds trust, and trust builds faith. Can I tell you that if you can't get yourself to a place of being honest, you will constantly find yourself living in the dark, and the truth will not be with you. But if you can get honest about what is going on in your world, first and foremost between you and God, and then James says, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed, that there is a portion that you need to confess some things to somebody if you're consistently hung up on something. But the reality is the goal is to bring it out of the darkness and into the light, because you have to move from being a dishonest or a hiding person to an honest person. You know, after years of marriage, you know, 14 years into marriage, the reality is my wife, she is beautiful, she is fantastic in every way, and also, she knows every one of my issues. I mean, she knows them all. She knows every one of my issues, she knows my weaknesses, she knows my strengths, she knows my failures. And here's what I've learned after 14 years of marriage, and this is what makes my wife and what makes marriage beautiful. She can accept my failures. She can accept that I am not a perfect man. There's no delusion in her brain that I am perfect, that I never make a mistake. She can accept me not being perfect. You know what she can't accept? She can't accept me not being an honest man. Because honesty would break down our trust. And if we don't have trust, we can't have faith in one another. And if we can't have faith together, we can't build a life together. And it's much like this with your relationship with God. God, listen, God is not looking for you to be perfect. He's not looking for just people that got it all together, but he is looking for honest people. Here's what I want you to grab a hold of. God is not looking for perfection. He is looking for honesty. God wants you to know that he wants you to be an honest person. That you can come to him. Frailties, mistakes, failures, just like Adam and Eve hid because they were afraid. You don't have to be afraid. I don't care how dark it looks, how ugly the darkness looks, you can come to God with all of it. And the Bible says if we'll confess it, if we'll bring it to the light, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Here's the great news. You can be bold with God. Can I tell you, there's nothing you haven't, that you've done that he wasn't present for anyway. He's not caught off guard by your sin. He's not caught off guard by the darkness of your heart. Can I tell you, guilt and shame are a paralytic. When guilt and shame hit your life, you know what they do? They paralyze you. They cause you to sit and to hide in fear. You know what? Darkness is a paralytic. You'll never see somebody running around full steam in the middle of the dark. Because why? Darkness causes us to freeze. Darkness surrounds us, feels oppressive. Can I tell you that that's what sin feels like? That's what pain feels like. That's what shame feels like. And God's saying, hey, why don't you just come on, turn on the light so we can run together? And that's what John continues to go. And he goes, hey, listen, hey, everybody's sinned. You got to get that. We are dark. God is light. We got to confess our sins. That's our pathway into the light. And then here's what John says, and here's the great news. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, but, he goes, I've written this that you will learn not to sin. How do we learn not to sin? Just keep on bringing it to the light. The more we bring it to the light, the more it loses its power. And he says, but, just in case, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. See, what John is trying to say is God is light. God is powerful. God is pure. God is purposeful. But you got to understand, we've got sin in our life, which means we are dark. And we can bring that sin to Jesus through confession. And we can step into what? His power, his purity, his purposes for our life. And what? Even in as we step into the light, there will be moments that we may trip up, we may sin. But if we do, we have an advocate. Can I tell you, Jesus is with you. He wants to help you overcome sin. He wants to pull you out of darkness. He wants you to walk in the light. Because why? When his light touches your life, here's what happens. He makes this great offer to you. He offers life. Jesus said this about himself. John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, for I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. He says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If we were to put that in the light of 1 John chapter 1, you could say Jesus came to give your life light. He came to give it sight, color, beauty, breakthrough. The devil came to put you in darkness, full of fear, guilt, and shame. Imagine if John was writing this to our church. He's saying, my city church, do you know who you are apart from God? There's a lot of people that are mad at racist people right now. There's a lot of people that are mad at injustice. Can I look at you in the face and tell you, apart from Jesus, that is who you are. We don't have problems, we are the problem. Sin is the problem. And he's saying, my city church, you gotta come, you gotta locate yourself. And you got to say, you know what, God, I've got areas in my life that are dark, but you know what, God, you are good. You are my advocate. So I'm going to run to the light because I understand when I bring it to the light, there is life on the other side. And I don't know where you're watching from today, but I want to put a clear call and a clear challenge out to you today. That if your life isn't right with Jesus, like, you would be embarrassed if somebody turned on the lights. All the bitterness and anger and resentment that is going on in your heart, God's saying, son, it's time to step out of the darkness and come to the light. If that's you today, I want to pray a special prayer with you today. It's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of saying, you know what? I'm going to confess my sins. I'm going to turn my life over to you, God. I'm going to step out of the darkness. I'm going to step into the light. And I believe this, that when you pray this prayer, you're going to take him up on his offer of life. See, you didn't need just a better behavior or little do-over. You needed to be born again. You needed to be reborn. And that's about what is about to happen. If you want to pray that prayer with me, wherever you are today, I want you to repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. So right now, Jesus, I give you my life. Become the Lord of my life. I give you my past. I give you my present. I give you my future. I'm yours, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hey, if you pray that prayer, we're celebrating with you. And for the rest of My City Church, hey, I want to challenge you. Let's be people of the light. Let's carry the light of Jesus with us wherever we go. Let's tackle any darkness that we might have in our hearts. And let's live out the life of Jesus in our hearts. Come on, let's go to God in one more song of worship.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.